promise of His coming, 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9, is the text for our consideration. The Apostle Peter is the writer of this epistle. The last epistle that he would write, the last letter that he would write to his beloved friends, churches that is scattered all over Asia Minor, facing much persecution. He was at the end of his life, more than 40 years of ministry. The Lord has blessed him to minister to many, so that the message of the gospel was spread far and wide in the Roman Empire at that time. And towards the close of his life, he writes these words. Chapter 3 and verse 1, he says, this second epistle, the second letter that he's writing, and this is the third chapter, the last chapter, last words are important. If you want to leave behind some words for a loved one, and time is running out, and you would have to pen it down so that when time permits no more, whatever you have penned would be a letter of remembrance, so that whoever the loved one would receive it may know your good thought for them. And what is Peter's thought for his church? He says this, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. In other words, he says that all that God has revealed to us through his prophets in the Old Testament, and all that has been written in the New Testament, words by which we may receive instruction for life, let us not forget them. I stir up your pure minds. In other words, he's saying to them that there are times when our minds can be unpure, impure. There are times when our minds are not ready to receive the truth concerning life. And what is he saying to us? What is it, the message that he wants us to know? Well, he tells us that this earth that we live in, is not going to go on forever. God is going to judge this earth with fire. Verse 7 of our text, he says for us, but the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. What a word of warning that comes here, that this earth that we live in, this beautiful earth that we have enjoyed for the last 6,000-7,000 years, you mean it's going to be destroyed? Well, Peter is saying to us, yes. And he gave us the example of the global flood, how the world was judged by a global flood. You know, there are many of you here who are Chinese speaking, and we all know the Chinese character for boat, chuan. The Chinese character for the boat, for the word boat, has an arc on the one side and has eight mouths on the other side. A boat with eight mouths, there's a boat. Why eight mouths? Well, you can't explain it until you would go to the Word of God and you read from Genesis 6 to 9 and you would see that God judged the world with a global flood. You see, before, when God created this world was very different from what it is today. There was an envelope of water surrounding the earth. This is what Peter says here in verse 5. For this they willingly are ignorant, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. Before God judged the world with a global flood, there was an enveloped canopy surrounding the earth. And at that time, men lived to many hundreds of years. Today, the age of men, the Bible recorded 120 years. And scientists have not been able to move beyond that 120 years. And since God's judgment upon the world through the global flood, the world has never been the same again. Only 8 were saved. Noah and his 3 children and the 3 daughter-in-law. 8 moved from the old world to the new world. And you know, another Chinese word that is very interesting, the word for disaster, Tai. The word for disaster has water on top and a fire below. That's the word for disaster. How did our Chinese ancestor know such depth of knowledge? Well, I say to you that they knew the scriptures. The Bible tells us that there are 2 ultimate judgments, disasters that come upon earth. The first is by water, and the second is by fire. Now, if it's by water, you can escape. Right? You build a boat and you can escape. But if it's by fire, the boat will also be burned. How can you escape? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us that the way by which man can be saved from this ultimate judgment of God through fire is that the church would be raptured, taken to heaven. In other words, there will be one generation of Christians who will not see death. That God, through His Son Jesus Christ, will return and will be caught up, taken up to heaven. And dear friends, we say to you that it could be our generation. The time is coming when God will judge the world with fire. And Peter is saying to us that this is a time of reckoning. He says, and this time of reckoning is such a time when, well, we know when it comes, it is too late. And verse 10 of our text gives this. We haven't read it, but I read this to you. It says here, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Now God is true to His word. The prophecy of God's word has never failed not to be fulfilled. And God is saying to us, giving us the word of warning. Why is it by fire? Because God will judge the soul of man eternally in hellfire. When we die, it is not the end. But the Bible records for us and tells us that there is a place of judgment. And that place of judgment, called hell, is a frightening place where when one is confined into, cannot escape. The Bible says that hell is a place of eternal torment. And when you are in that place of eternal torment, the soul cannot escape. So the Bible describes for us that there is a chasm. There is a gulf fixed between heaven and hell. And death is the separation. In other words, when you die, there will be an eternal separation that takes place. Whether you go to heaven or whether you go to hell. And those who have end up in hell, the Bible records for us this rich man. Right? How this rich man was so terribly tormented And he asked, "Can you give me some water to relieve myself? I'm feeling so terrible. I cannot escape." Well, dear friends, here is described for us that hell is a real place, and that God has provided a way out through His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hell is a place whereby the sin of men is dealt with. Right? We all do wrong, and none can escape. And there is a price to pay for the wrong that we would do. And for each one of us, we dare not say, right, that we have done all good. It's just like someone who may have done many good. Someone who does good to save many people. But if he were to break a law, then he would also have to be dealt with. Right? The law of our society tells us that whoever breaks the law would have to be dealt with, punished. And so we have been dealt with breaking the law of God, the Creator of the universe. And because of this breaking of God's law, judgment comes upon us, to the posterity of mankind. And the only escape by which we can find relief from God's judgment in hellfire is that God has to send His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to come on earth to take the penalty for our sins. God Himself has to bear our sins. This is the message of redemption. This is the message that God has for us. That after Jesus lived 33 and a half years upon earth, right, when He lived upon earth, He fulfilled all the laws on our behalf. Because He is God, and He is also man. Right? He is what we call the Theanthropos, the God-man, fully God and fully man. On the one hand, because He is God, He represented God. And because He is man, He represented man. He is the mediator between God and man. In other words, man, in order to be reconciled to God, goes through the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the mediator, the only mediator. And because He is fully God, He represented God, and He is fully man, He represented man. He is the only Savior that God has given to save sinful men from eternal judgment. And Peter is saying to us that this world that we live in will not go on forever. There will come a time of judgment. And so, you know, today we endeavor to build a better skyscraper. Right? Man builds a taller and a taller building, a bigger and bigger barns. But here the Lord says to us that this world would be judged by fire, is reserved unto fire. And so He says that there is a judgment that is coming, but there are those who would say to you that where is the promise of His coming? You Christians, you say that God will judge the world. Where is the judgment? I don't see it. Peter tells us that be not a mocker or a scoffer. God's word that is given will not return to Him, but will be fulfilled to the jot and tittle. And so when He tells us that, we don't want to wait until we face the fire and then we make a decision. We have to make our decision now. And the gods of this world, they are false gods. There is only one living and true God. That is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And if we know Him, you know that absent in the body is to be present with the Lord in heaven. Now, you see, we do not think about these things that often. We don't like to think about these things. But Peter is someone who is at the brink of the end of his life. And he understood about life and death. He has seen the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, glorified in his heavenly glorified form. And he understood the things of heaven. And he's writing in order for us to understand and see and receive the truth concerning God's judgment. And, you know, when we receive God, it is such a wonderful thing. Because Peter says here in verse 8, the reason why fire has not come down from heaven. Verse 8 says, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years as one day. The Lord does not count time, mark time as we do. The Lord God transcends time. But why is it that for last 2,000 years, the Lord says He will come and He hasn't come? Because He explained in verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. God didn't break His promise, you know, that He will not come and receive the church. But He says, but is long-suffering. What is the meaning of the word long-suffering? The word long-suffering means patient. God is very patient, not willing, or to us, in other words, God is very patient with us, not willing that any one of us would perish, right? But that all should come to repentance. Chinese word is 悔改. Why do we need to come to repentance? Because we are in sin. And we need to realize that we are in sin and that we cannot save ourselves. What we do, any of our good works are but filthy rags. We cannot save ourselves. And the reason why God allows time, judgment has not come, is that God wants us to receive His grace. Receive His favor so that we would escape the judgment to come, escape the fire to come, so that when we would die, we would be safe in heaven. And we thank the Lord for giving to Madam Voon, Madam Kwan, the faith to confess the Lord Jesus Christ in the latter years of their lives. What grace to understand, to know the meaning of life. Peter is speaking to those who are, he's as a dying man, you see. Only when we have faced or come close to death, when sickness comes to us, then it causes us to think and evaluate concerning life. And the Lord says to us, don't wait until that time. Don't wait until that time. Right? The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness. God went to sleep. No. But is long-suffering to us. In other words, He's very patient, waiting for you, giving to you many, many opportunities to repent. Many opportunities to come to Him. Many opportunities to be saved. Not willing that any should perish. Not willing that any should perish. In other words, our God, the God who made us, the God who is sustaining your life, the God of heaven, loves you. And He wants to save you. And He wants to ensure that you are given the full opportunity to receive the grace of God. And we are thankful to God that God has provided a place for us like this, where we can come to worship Him, where the message of salvation can be preached, can be given so that men and women can be saved. There is a way out. So, Peter says to us, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering. God is patient with us, and, you know, the patience of God is the mercy of God. In other words, God wants to make a good way for us in our latter life. And what do I mean by latter life? Because our physical life here on earth is just 70 years. By virtue of strength, 80 years. But eternity, compared with 70 years, is a long time. And so divine equation has it for us that we must understand the divine mathematics so that we would escape this judgment to come. You know, heaven is a beautiful place, a wonderful place. Jesus says, I've gone to prepare a mansion for you. He says, I'm preparing a house for you, and you would inherit it when I come again. So let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe also in what I have said to you. Well, the Lord is saying to us that He will return again, and He would bring His church to glory. In other words, bring us to heaven. If we think that this earth is a beautiful place, heaven is a much more beautiful place. The Bible tells us the streets of gold. In other words, in heaven, it is so wonderful and so great and magnificent, a place for our eternal abode, that we want to make sure that we will be there to enjoy the eternal life. We have gone earth, we may have loved ones who are still outside the kingdom of God, and we are concerned for them, and we pray the Lord may be merciful to save them, that God may grant to them His grace, that they may come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy word. Thank Thee for Thy mercy in showing us that the promise of Thy coming that is not fulfilled is not due to Thy slackness, but that Thou art long-suffering that we might not perish. O God, we pray that Thou would be merciful to help us to come to Thee, to come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. May Thou strengthen us and renew our faith to know that this world is not our home, and that we may not set our affections upon this earth as believers, but rather set our affections on things above. That, Lord, help us to be mindful of the souls around us, and help us that we may have utmost care and devote utmost attention, resources for the salvation of these souls. By Thy mercy, Lord, may Thou be gracious to save. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.